How's everybody doing today? Good, good, good. Good to see some faces. Been out for a while. Good to see you guys back. I'm excited for what we've got going on. But today is a big day, a big day. Today is the last official day. Wait a minute, before we get any farther along, is there any way we could take a vote to not allow my dad to wear that face mask ever again? Because I can't even look back there. But anyways, let's get back to it. Today is the last day of our first year at Fireside Fellowship. So we are, as of, well, I guess, 6 p.m. tomorrow evening, we will be starting our second year as Fireside. Man, is that not awesome? Is that not, I mean, it feels like it was literally just yesterday that we were even talking about getting this thing started. Now we have completed our first year, and I am so excited for that. And along with the message, it goes on into, as we go, things seem to get a little more comfortable, right? So like in our jobs, in our lives, in our marriages, and everything, things just seem to get a little comfortable. Have you guys ever noticed that? Like whenever you, let's say in our marriages, the longer that we go, we just seem to kind of just get into that groove sometimes. And we need to sit back sometimes and reflect, like, why are we married? Why did we get with this person? It's because I love them and I care for them and I desire the best for them, right? Sean, you're probably never going to get there on this path, but maybe one day. Okay, I'm gonna ride this joke out until you actually ask her, okay? She's paying me good money to do that. Okay. So in our jobs, like, we get all excited. Anybody remember starting or getting ready to start in that new job where you've got the nerves coming in and what am I gonna do and meet all these people? But as time goes on, it kind of just gets a little monotonous, right? And then all of a sudden it goes from all of the cool things and exciting new things. And then that big pay raise you got, kind of, you forget about that, and all of a sudden it just starts getting into another job. Well, my question is, as a church, we're getting into that, ending that first year, are we still as excited? Are we still as ready and eager to go out and build as we were in that first meeting? So I remember being in that first meeting. We were in my house. We were all gathered in. We had some chairs around, and we were singing. We actually did something that I want to do very, very soon. I would love to do it here, and maybe I can get with Caleb and have a date. But we did a night of worship in the dark, and it was just fantastic. We took everything back down to the basics and said, why are we even wanting to become a church? What is the purpose? And when we tore everything down, we came back to one word, and that's Jesus, right? Like, if we're going to call each other Christians and we're going to really care about what we do, then the focus of not just church, but our entire lives should be the cross, right? Like, we should proclaim the cross. We should be excited. I'm going to tell you right now, there are people that need Jesus just as much today as they did a year ago. There are that many people still needing to hear the gospel. So my question is, just because we've come into a new building and we've done so many things, we've got, now we're getting organized, right? It's not just in the meetings and stuff. I'm going to tell you, the more organized we get, the more out of my zone that we get. I'm the kind of guy that just absolutely loves the newness, the adventure, the excitement. So my question is, how do you take the newness, the excitement, and everything else that comes with doing something new and make that go forever? How do you keep that building and building and building? If you're in a healthy relationship, one thing that I can say is I honestly love my wife more today than I did the day that I married her. Do you love the ministry that you're in? Do you love working for God as much as the day that you came into a relationship with Him? Like, you guys remember, and I hope Most of you remember the day that you got saved and the excitement and the big dreams that you had. And you were going to go and you were going to light up the whole world for the cross, right? You were going to go light up the whole world. You were going to spread fires and you were going to tell everybody. Kiddos, you probably went and told some of your friends. Some of you guys made videos. I know Warren made a video just not too long ago and the excitement of him telling me, do we still have that a year down the road? Do we still want and do we still believe what God has in store for us? Now, before we get into the text, I do want to say something. And Jeremy, I don't mean to call you out, but this week, Jeremy's grandmother had a stroke. And he told me this morning that he believes she's just waiting to see everybody one last time, but that it's not looking good for her. But I want to just take a second to say, how awesome is it that this morning, the first thing Jeremy tells me is like, I knew I needed to go to church. I knew I needed to go worship and pray and be with you guys and hear the message and be a part of it. So I would like to stop for just a second and pray for Jeremy and his family. If you guys don't know, and I'll just give a quick thing. Jeremy was planning on him and his wife meeting us this morning to join today, but we're going to do that at a later date. But he is fully invested in everything that we're doing. He's here. If you see him on Wednesday nights, he is a lot like me in that he loves asking Elijah tons and tons of questions, and he's getting fully involved, getting his family in there. So let's pray for him. Before we go too much farther, I just can't go another minute without praying for you, brother, if that's all right. Lord God, I want to pause for just a second and come into a situation of thankfulness. I thank you for Jeremy and Beth and their whole family, their kids. And Lord, I just ask that today that when I was talking to him, he was thankful that you were able to provide a good life for his grandmother. And how awesome is it to be able to come into that peace and knowledge of who you are and how many blessings you come, even in the days that the world considers sad, and even though they may sting a little bit to us, that it's not just a goodbye, it's not just a the end. It is just a, I'll see you later, Lord, that you've provided eternity with you for us if we truly give our lives to you. Lord, I ask that in this transition, as his grandmother comes from this earth into glory with you, Lord, that you give his family peace and love and that you draw his family closer to you. And if there's anybody in his family that doesn't know you, that through this process that they get that knowledge of you, Lord. Just ask that you allow Jeremy the opportunity to stand up and be that beacon of light for you. I thank you in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, going back into the excitement, the newness, right? Like a lot of us, we don't want to get into that monotonous state, right? When we go and we do the same thing over and over and over again, some of us get through to this point of almost a depression-like state where we just become in a trance. And I'm telling you, our faith, our relationship with Jesus should not just be motions being made. Right? We should have an intimate relationship. So I want to read a little bit into Galatians chapter 6. We're going to start at verse 9. So if you guys want to open your Bibles up, Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Who do you guys think is writing this letter to the Galatians? That's a clue right there. Who do you guys think? Any ideas? No ideas? No ideas? Paul. Paul's writing this letter, right? So Paul's writing the letter, and we're going to start in verse 9 and just get into a little bit of the end of his letter. It says, "Let us not get tired of doing good, for we will reap at the proper time if we don't give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us work for the good of all, especially for those who belong to the household of faith." Look at what large letters I use as I write to you in my own handwriting. Those who want to make a good impression in the flesh are the ones who would compel you to be circumcised, but only to avoid being persecuted. For the cross of Christ, for even the circumcised don't keep the law themselves, and yet they want you to be circumcised in order to boast about your flesh. But as for me, I will never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The world has been crucified to me through the cross, and I to the world. For both circumcision and uncircumcision mean nothing. What matters instead is a new creation. May peace come to all those who follow the standard, and mercy even to the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, because I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Your spirit. Amen. So as Paul is writing here, right, he starts off in verse 9. And verse 9 tells us, let us not get tired of doing good. You see, some of the times that I get the most tired is whenever we have to get on into all the legal aspects of things, right? So I like just good, quick answers, and then let's get to work. Well, let me tell you a little story, and I had a little different one involved, but this morning, when I tell you that Elijah and I are totally different, I had a question that I thought was a very simple question for Elijah, but Elijah went off, and I put him into one of these things that I used to love to do, where you ask him a question on something that he really, really cares about, and then he can't get out of digging in deeper into the question. So this morning I asked him a little bit about what Paul is talking about in writing the big letters. And knowing that Elijah would be the one to ask this question, two, he would give me an answer. Well, when I did it, it must have struck a nerve, because what it did is Elijah went on to a good 15 to 20 minute span of going through his phone, getting red-faced and scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and trying to find the perfect example. I would have to say, the instant that somebody would have said something and I had the answer, I would have probably got tired of researching. That's just my personality. I told you guys earlier that I am not the guy that you want to give like the monotonous task. When I used to work at the NOAA facility, we would make these little boards and we would solder them together, and they would give us like a couple hundred of them at a time. And those days were terrible to me. You could sit there at your desk in the air conditioning with a little soldering iron and be totally comfortable and look and totally go in and continue to do your work. You could have a radio or whatever you needed. And that sounds all great to most people, but I'm the guy that's like, please put me outside and let me like dig a hole or build something or do something. This is terrible for me. I say that to say this. We're all constructed in different ways. The same way that Elijah liked to dig in and find that exact something and read through all those pages and study and go and everything, and I would have been just happy with an answer and let's get to work. It takes both. It takes all of us. That's not what I'm talking about getting tired of it. I'm saying get into what God's called you to do and keep doing it. Do it with passion. Do it with excitement. This first year has been different, right? So for all of us that have been in ministry for years and years and years, this has been one of the weirdest years to be in ministry. Everything that we do, we have to do differently. So many people are in depression. I was talking to my wife the other day. So many people are posting online talking about depression and getting upset about how everything with the coronavirus has had to totally change them up. And I'm sitting here dancing in my happy zone, because absolutely nothing stays the same. My question is, are we going to be the type of church that continues to go out and fight? Are we going to be the type of church that doesn't get tired of when there are the days that we need to change things up, we don't get tired of changing things up? Are we going to be the type of church that whenever there are days that we have to sit down and study and get into that text and do what we need to do, are we going to be just as excited about doing that as we were a year ago? Paul goes on, he says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us work for the good of all, especially for those who belong to the household of faith. Right now is one of those times where truly the most devout, it seems like, the ones that truly want to be at church are there. Now, we have several that are sick that can't be here and would love to be here. It's not what I'm talking about. But this also, in these times like today, give opportunity for us to give reasons to not be involved in the ministry. It gives us plenty of reasons to be able to step out. You know, right now you could say, well, you know what? it's not football season, so I'm going to get back in church. But during football season, I'm going to take some time off because, you know, COVID. So often we have so many things going on in life that we can just give excuses for. But it says in this time we need to get together. We need to be working more. We need to get more involved. There are people that are depressed and are not knowing what's going to happen. There are people that are scared to death of what's going on. There are Christians that are wondering what happens next. How do we even have church? How do we proclaim the gospel? We need to stand up, especially for those of us that are in a relationship with Christ, especially for our brothers and sisters that are Christians. We need to step up and we need to give them love and encouragement and have the same amount of zeal as we did a year ago. So as we talk about this new year going on, Paul does something really cool, and I talked about it a little bit with Elijah here. So as we're talking, and I'm gonna ask Elijah just not step up and totally go into a rant about it, because he could talk for hours, and if you guys would like to get into it. But one thing that was pretty common in this day, and Elijah and I were talking about it a little bit and have talked in the past, is that sometimes people like Paul would have a secretary or somebody that would write for them. So they would have these letters, and there was actually a job, right? So somebody would be a writer and write out the letters for Paul. And at the end, it was common practice. So you see Paul, something common practice for him to either sign the letter or to show and justify that it was him. So whenever we look here in verse 11, it says, look at what large letters I use as I write to you in my own handwriting. Those who want to make a good impression in the flesh are the ones who would compel you to be circumcised. So right before we get into that, he says, look as I write in this big handwriting. We know this is Paul because he gives his signature at the end, right? So he has somebody writing the letter as he's telling them what to write. And he says, this is me. This is what I want to share with you. And I wanted to just throw that out there. So as you go in and you wonder what's going on, that's what's happening in this text. Paul has something, but he can't just end with a this is me, I love you guys. I think he throws in a little something at the end because it seems to be like a dagger in his side. And it's something that absolutely should be important to us as a church. Anybody ever heard of legalism? Legalism in the church. Legalism in the church can look in a variety of different ways. It could look like what it looks like in Paul's time. The Christians were also adding in, not only does it take Jesus and what he did on the cross, but you also need to be circumcised. You also need to do something else to set yourself apart, right? So legalism in the church, in my opinion, is a terrible, terrible thing. I think that when we add to what it takes to be a Christian, when we keep adding on more and more, you're taking away from what Christ did on that cross. Jesus said that if you believe that he is the Messiah, that he came to die for you, and you give your life to him and know that your sins were paid for by him, that you could have everlasting life. Jesus freely gave that out. Legalism in today's time can look quite a bit more like that. But in this point in time, one thing that was happening is that the Christians that that were being made were told, hey, you know what? You can be a Christian, but here's what you need to do in order to be a Christian. You need to go into this circumcision point. And what that does is that pulls people back into old school law and takes away from new covenant of grace. So it goes into this old school idea that you have to do this to be able to be a true Christian. Well, that's not in any way what the Bible says. It's in the same way that we come in here, and if we all decided that we were going to wear plaid shirts every single Sunday, and that's what, and to a much more degree, I will say in this, but if we were all going to wear plaid shirts because red plaid shirts signify the fire from Fireside Fellowship, and we were going to wear that, but you had to wear this in order to be here, we would come up with some, even though silly, but awkward form of legalism. You couldn't be here without wearing exactly what we do. You couldn't be here without doing exactly what I think you should do to be a part of us. You can't be here if you don't wear a suit and tie, or if you don't read out of only your King James Bible, or if you don't part your hair a certain way, or if you don't. I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus came and asked us to seek out the lost into a relationship with him, not into a life of looking alike or being similar in the sense of worldliness. Paul has a real issue. See, one thing that they were using this for is that if you became a radical Christian, in the sense of radical Christian means, I'm not talking about doing crazy stuff in the sense of what, well, maybe I am talking in the sense of doing crazy stuff if you consider giving your entire life to Jesus. Every aspect of you are, that you are. See, these guys were scared. These Jews were scared that if they said something apart that took them away out of the culture, that they would also be called out for it. If you did something different, like asked that guy on the side of the road that doesn't look like a Christian, that's maybe dirty, doesn't smell good, maybe they've just had some drugs or alcohol in their system or whatever it is, if you call and ask them into church, they wouldn't look like the rest of us. You can't be doing that. People won't come back. What about that husband and wife that had been living just totally separate and done terrible things in their relationship and are no longer together? You can't call them into the church and ask them to be a part of it, right? Because people know what they've done and you don't want to have that association. But you do want that politician or that doctor or that lawyer or that whatever, because they can make you look good. We so often have those different opinions based on just legalistic ideas. These guys were scared to death that if they went from their old school ideas, if they went from what the old law covenant represented, that people would be casting down on them. See, they wanted the best of both worlds. They wanted Jesus, but they also didn't want Jesus in the fact of being considered radical. They wanted Jesus, but everybody else to be happy and okay with them having Jesus. Well, when the world tells you that having Jesus is wrong, there is no way to just kind of halfway be in there. The Bible tells us that if we want to be, there's this word lukewarm. If you want to be in the middle and you want to just ride the fence, it says you will be spit out. The question is, church, are we all in? Or are we just there? Are we coming in to be a part of a congregation, or are we, or a group of people, or a friend zone, or a program to let some of these nice ladies watch our kids for an hour or two on Wednesday nights, or are we here for the good breakfasts, or are we here so that we can go tell our buddies at work that, you know, how great a Christian we are because we go to church? Are we here because we want to go tell everybody in the community that we're doing something totally new because we planted a church and it means so much that we're doing something different? Puts us as super Christians, right? Because we're doing something outside of the norm. We don't just attend, we plant. Is that the reason that we're here? Are we here because it's just a good idea? Because, hey, I've got power there. I've got the ability to change things there to my liking. Hey, because that pastor there will let me do whatever I want to do. Or maybe because, hey, if I can get in there, maybe I could become a deacon or an elder really quick because they're low, and then I could go and boast about it. See, that's what a lot of these guys were wanting to do. They want to be able to claim Christianity, but they don't want the fullness of it. My question is, throw all that stuff aside. At Fireside, do we want to be here because God asked us to be here? Do we want to be a part of this community because God needs us to go out? Are we wanting to fight just as much today as we did a year ago? Are we just as excited or more excited? See, we're finally getting through all of the paperwork issues. This past year has been able to give us some time. Even though it's taken a little bit of time, we're getting through all the legalistic aspect of becoming church. My question is, in this second year, are we going to go out and we're going to put boots on the ground? Are we going to go out and are we going to allow our bodies, our hands, our minds, everything that we have to go out and proclaim the gospel to our community? Are we going to be the type of church that is every bit on, as much on fire? That we aren't just like a match that quickly, you know, if you had a match and you lit it right now, what's the first thing that would do? That match would just super bright light, right? Super bright light, it comes off and then it slowly withers away, and in a few seconds it goes out and all you have is just some burnt wood left. Or are we going to have the type of fire that's like a bonfire that we continue to stoke, that we continue to throw more on? Are we going to light it and then take care of that small fire? If you've ever been a part, Luke and I were a part of trying to start a fire last year. And so we went out and we got a few little twigs. I mean, little twigs, right? And we start getting in there and we start piling up these little twigs together. We light the twigs on fire. And the twigs lit on fire, and then we forgot that we needed more twigs. So we ran out and got twigs, and by the time we got back, that fire is gone. And then we come back and we add some more twigs, and then we light them on fire, and we forgot we needed more twigs. So we went and got more twigs, and that fire was gone. Then Luke being Luke and I, we said, I've got a 55-gallon drum of diesel fuel. Why are we worried about twigs? So we put about 20 gallons of diesel fuel and went to town. And the question is, do we get that excitement? Do we want to be that type of church that goes out and says, hey, how big a fire can I start? Kids, I'm going to tell you right now, don't do that at your house. But if you want to come over to my house sometime with me and hang out, we will do that. Just don't do it at your own house, especially not on the refrigerator, right? Warren's over here. But do we want to be that kind of church that when we come in, we don't just plan on just having a twig or two on fire? We want to consume. Let's be that kind of church. Let's go. Let's do this thing. Let's go out and reach people for Christ. Let's proclaim the gospel. Let's get back to having, if you guys can remember those meetings, let's go back to the excitement of doing something new, to get into that house, into that basement, and truly talk about what God has planned for us. Let's not fizzle out because we thought that just getting a few little limbs here and having a little fire would be enough. Let's go out and consume. Let's go out into this neighborhood and seek. Let's go out there like we have 55 gallons of diesel And let's start some fires. Let's get some things rolling. Let's do some things that pull people into a relationship with Jesus. It's very simple. See, when it comes down to what we need to be doing, there's just some one word that comes into mind, and it's super simple. See, everybody says, well, I have to have this knowledge, and I have to have this training, and I have to be able to speak, or I have to be able to write, or I have to be able to deal with kids or deal with families or whatever. There, all that can be taken away with just one thing. I'm not asking for perfection. There's one word that God asks for us, and that's willingness. If you are willing to do whatever he asks you to do, if he asks you to step out and do something great, to step out of whatever situation you're in and go into a new situation, do that. Just like Paul writes on here, don't get tired of doing it. Keep on doing it. Keep on progressing. Now, like I said, we're almost exactly 1 year old. I am so thankful for you guys. But if there is one story that you can go out and tell through your first year as Fireside Fellowship, that I ask that it is this one, that this is the story that you proclaim to everybody else. When they ask you, why did you do this? Why did you become part of a church that was planting in Kingston? Why did you get with that congregation? Why did you want to do something like that? That this is the story that you tell, and then you say this, that you say, well, I wanted to do that because first God loved me enough to send his son to die on that cross for me. He loved me so much that he sent his own son to pay for my sins. So therefore, if he can give his son's life up for me, he is willing to do the same for you. And all it takes is giving your entire life to him. Just a fraction, a minute fraction of eternity is all he's asking for. And if he calls me into anything by giving my entire life to him, if he calls me into anything, I have to do it. Including being a part of that church, being a part of that ministry, talking to my neighbor. And make sure that in any situation that we go in, that whenever people get done talking to us, that they know not just who we are, but who Jesus is. Let us not get bored with keeping on the same path. Let us not get into a situation where the monotonous actions of life, where church just becomes something that we do, but that we continue to go, that we continue to grow, and we continue to proclaim. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for loving us and being with us. Lord, I thank you for the first amazing year. I thank you for just continuing to show your grace and mercy, even in our failures, Lord, that you still bless us, that even in where we lack, you come in and you make us whole, Lord. Lord, I thank you for just continuing to bless us, Lord. I ask that in this year to come, that we go out, that we do more, that we be more, that we love more and we give more, Lord, and that we proclaim you before anything else. I thank you. I love you. I know that in my life I need you more and more every day. I ask that you give me the ability and the words to go out and share your word, to share the gospel, to share what you did some 2,000 years ago when you sent your son to die for me, to allow other people to know that he also died for them. Lord, allow us to be the type of church that goes in not with just some twigs, but goes in with that diesel fuel, Lord, that goes in and doesn't want just a match type fire, but we want to be part of that consuming, that all-consuming fire, that blaze that has started for you. thank you and I love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.